all in your mind. All in your mind. All in your mind. All in your mind.
Hey, Graphic Audio fans. This is Dwayne Beeman, and welcome to another episode of All in Your Mind. Today, we will bring the conclusion of our interview with Graphic Audio veteran actress Kimberly Gilbert. If you missed part one of the interview, do yourself a favor and check it out. Now, on to the interview.
I was an incredibly bad student growing up. I was like lowest common denominator. My mom would she'd be like, Kimberly, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I got a C minus. What? Like,
that's good enough.
And it's good enough. Or like, I would like wait to the last minute to do a project.
Yeah, well, that was me
and
too.
Something happened like 2 months before I graduated high school where I was like, oh, wait, education's not a punishment.
Right.
It's actually something that you can enjoy. And I started getting A's.
When was this?
Like 2 months before I graduated. Like the complete opposite of what most kids do.
So you got a running start.
Yeah. I learned too late during my formative years that like preparing for things and doing work is actually part of the enjoyment and nourishment of you as a human being.
Right.
And people would say that on posters and whatever, like the library would have that. You know, like,
yeah.
It didn't, like something clicked. It just clicked a little bit too late for me. And I was, you know, and I only ever did what I wanted to do. And I still do. Now I just want to do the work.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I managed to get all the way through high school with that them and us mentality.
Yeah.
I was definitely, you know, that the teachers in school was the man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
No, seriously, yeah. I was not, I didn't see that they were doing anything for me. It was something I had to get through and, survive.
I would do my best to, I would do my best to charm the teachers.
Right.
To make sure that they liked me. Ultimately, so I could, you know, get away with like getting a D every once in a while. Like, and I hate admitting that. I hate admitting that. But that was me.
But maybe that's part of, the process that enabled you to be so passionate once you got the hook, once you figured out that you hadn't burned out by then, as some of us do. I mean,
yeah.
I know by the time I got through with high school, I was like, I don't want any more school. You know, I went
and I was like, give me all the school. And I was on like the dean's list in college because I was like, what? Geology? Tell me about the rocks.
Where'd you get your degree?
I got my bachelor's at Westchester University in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
That was a transfer. I first went to Rider University in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. My aid or situation that I was dealing with got to be too much for my mom and me. So I transferred to a state school, and it was equally as awesome. And
you go to GW too.
And then a year after I graduated undergrad, this awesome professor, Peg Denethorne, who was at Westchester after I had already left, but her and I became close, and she was like, oh, I got this thing in the mail for this one-year MFA that they're starting in D.C., and I was like, D.C. is a theater community? Okay. It's run by Michael Kahn, and I was like, who's that? Because I was an idiot about, like, who was who in the theater world professionally,
well,
you know.
Most people are when they first start.
So I worked on my audition for like 3 weeks and with Peg, and I went and I auditioned and I got in, and that is pretty much that. So that was in 2000, and I haven't left.
And that brought you to the area?
That brought me to the area.
One year.
So you're originally from the Philadelphia area? Okay.
Man.
Delaware County.
Okay. I would love to have done a one-year MFA. I would actually have an MFA right now if it had been a one-year MFA.
Dude, you should go do it.
As opposed to a three-year MFA
on.
That I got through 2 years of.
Yeah. Don't give me any.
Still pay back the loans.
Take a year off, Kent. It's fine. So I do have a master's in classical acting.
Lovely.
She pushes up the glasses.
All this beauty and brains, too. Ooh, ultimately sneaky.
An immense student loan debt.
Check out the brain of that lady.
Listen to, I got to put a shout out to one of my favorite podcasts, Sex, Lies, and Money.
Okay.
I've never heard.
No, Sex, Death, and Money. I'm sorry, Sex, Death, and Money.
Yeah, that's on. I haven't checked that out yet.
Yeah, because they have a podcast
Sex,
about
videotape.
Yeah, right. Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Yeah. Well, I know Laura Sanjicoma. We went to school together.
No way.
Yep. Undergrad.
She was great in that movie.
Yeah, she was young. Undergrad to me.
You guys are talking too fast.
I know. Anyway, that's because we're East
Coasters.
I know. It's true. It is true.
We're on a different level.
Yeah. Sorry. I was like, okay, I recognize that name. What?
Sex, Death, and Money has a couple of podcasts about people's student loan debt.
Oh, okay.
And they get into it, and they interview a lot of people and talk about it.
Oh,
and I have student loan debt, and it's one of those things that you like. Everybody's living on top of it, you know? Those of us who are as carefree as ever, you know?
Your nostrils are just above the water for 35 years, you know?
And you know in the back of your head.
You just get used to the water. It's just always there.
Yeah, it's always there.
Wow.
But so is it fascinating to listen to other people's experience, and it was very cathartic, too, so I recommend it for
anybody.
All right,
I'm gonna.
Who's got student loan debt issues, listen to that.
Do you listen to podcasts, or is that one?
I just got into WTF with Mark Maron.
Oh, yeah.
One of the
hottest ones around.
Right.
And I'm a really, really, really late to the game in terms of podcast worlds.
Yeah. Did you do Serial or S-Town?
No, I haven't done that yet. Because that's kind of, it's like really depressing, right?
It can't, like the Serial?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's about an unsolved murder.
Yeah.
And S-Town, if you want an upbeat, fun comedian podcast.
This past couple of years, I've been like focusing on my entertainment, on the my stuff that I listen to as just
being
like
more uplift.
I need or funny.
Yeah.
Pete
Holmes has a podcast that is very upbeat. He's
right.
He's a comedian. I didn't know that much about either. I sort of discovered him recently.
Okay.
The podcast is called You Just Made It Weird.
Yes, I think I'd like that.
Two Dope Queens.
Yes. I love. I know that she used to be on Comedy Central.
Jessica, whatever her last name is. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. This sort of segues into when you have downtime.
Yeah.
Are there hobbies, or do you have?
Yes.
Yeah. Like.
I love baking.
Oh, okay.
I'm an avid baker.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah,
I've been watching the Great British Bake Off.
Oh, that's my jam. That
oh, really? Wait, yeah. So, like, what? Like baking what? Like
I just made chocolate dip almond biscotti, and a spiced oatmeal chocolate chip cookie, and then before that, I made a blueberry ginger pie. I'm a big baker. I find it very meditative and cathartic. And
you have to be a chemist, basically.
Yeah.
Would you have any interest in, like, attempting to do something of an alternative nature, like a gluten-free version
or
a vegan version?
I have this wonderful...
Yeah,
because Ken
is what you're
trying to say.
I'm
looking for goodies.
I do. It's part of my journey as a baker, because I have this wonderful family that I'm very close friends with, and they're all gluten free, but then their daughter is also has a lot of allergies, so they do dairy free and nut free. So I do a lot of I made this for July 4th. I made these gluten free, dairy free s'mores brownies with a no nutter peanut buttery type of thing.
Wow.
And
how do you do that?
there's a no nutter peanut butter spread that's made with sunflower seeds.
Okay.
Because for me, I mean, baking is hard enough.
Yeah.
If you watch the Great
Making a gluten-free pastry crust is like a Moby Dick. I made this peach cherry gluten-free, dairy-free pie for this family as well, and they were like, oh, that's successful, and I was like,
I haven't quite captured it yet.
But I'm very close. And now that so many things have gluten-free options and dairy-free options now,
they have to.
It's
yeah.
actually quite easy to make goodies that are
because there are food, there are substitutes out there
and dietary restrictive.
Yeah,
is that are you? You don't need gluten-free, do you, Dwayne? Is that I know Tim Lynch has had a. He needs the gluten-free.
Oh, I'm...
You're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
You just don't like tomatoes.
Right? I don't like tomatoes.
I don't like tomatoes either.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would take it.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah. I find them to have a
I didn't like them when I was younger.
Yeah, they're
and
acidic
I know
for
like
me.
That seems almost un-American.
Yeah, my body.
But I mean, he doesn't even like. He doesn't like tomato sauce.
Well, no, I.
Oh,
I like
you
tomato
do.
Sauce. I just.
I
just don't like the actual tomato.
Yeah, I'll eat.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Weird. Why are they hard on the outside and gooey on the inside? It doesn't make any sense. And they're not sweet.
No, they're not.
Well, they can put salt on them. Like if you get a cherry tomato.
I'd rather have a cherry.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, I eat sauce.
Wow, so I'm surrounded by tomato haters.
I'm just saying, like, I can understand the tomato haters.
Okay, okay.
But ketchup and pizza sauce, yeah, I eat all that.
They're fairly removed from the extra tomato.
You can't expect us to agree on everything. Come on, man. Where we're going to draw the line is like, is tomato going to be the make or break? I mean, politically, we get along and all these things.
But yeah,
you don't like tomatoes.
Yeah, but I'm the type, if I see a tomato in a dish, it's ruined my way. I just pick it out.
Oh, you pick it out. Okay. Yeah. It out,
you know. I kind of want you to just pick it up and like throw it at the wall.
Now, I mean, I'm the type of vegan that if you give me a salad with Parmesan cheese or something, if I can remove it, I will.
Right.
So I'm not like, because I have some friends that are vegan where if it was touched, they're like, oh no.
Then it's ruined.
No, but if I can pull it out, I will.
And there's also people who have allergies. Where you have to be. Literally, yeah.
That's different. So.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But yeah, I learned how to play the ukulele for a play in 2012, I loved to play.
Is that with Taffy Thong?
No, it was with Woolly Mammoth Theater Company.
There's no happier sound than a ukulele.
I love that. Yeah,
The banjo. I'd have to.
Oh, that's up.
I was gonna say banjo is a very upbeat sound. Yeah, I'm thinking about using entirely. I haven't said this to Dave Zitney yet, but I'm considering having the entire soundtrack of The Frontiersman be banjo.
Be banjo.
Yep.
Completely?
Completely.
Almost even in the sad
as much as I can find.
What about a banjo?
Even during a death scene?
Because there's an instrument it's a hybrid of a banjo and a ukulele. It's called a banjolele.
If I can find tracks.
I've never heard of that. What does it look like?
It's the size of a ukulele with a banjo drum.
Oh, okay.
It's the four strings of a, but without like I think when I played it like a ukulele, and I'm sure if you wanted to, you could play it like a.
So it's more banjo. The resonance of a ukulele versus a banjo?
It's the resonance. I don't know. It's cool. It's like.
I'll have to.
Like,
yeah, you could probably do
without
with
it because banjo is so difficult to play, and
you got
to
pluck.
This is much easier, but like the sound, it does create a hybrid sound of banjo.
Shout out to Bella Fleck, my man.
Yeah, I learned to play the ukulele for one song in A Thousand Clowns about 20 years ago now. I could play Yes Sir, That's My Baby.
Aww, I would love to hear you play that.
Van Dyke just appeared before my head. I don't know why.
Pardon me?
I said for some reason I saw Dick Van Dyke in my head. And you said, that's my baby and something?
Well, it was Jason Robards in the film. Mm-hmm. I think that scene is in the film. Yeah. It's definitely in the play.
Shout out to Jason Robards.
Rest in peace. That's pretty good. We covered some good stuff. And we haven't gone off on tangents that are too far afield.
Not at all. Let me
quickly pour over my notes here.
I'm curious to know.
Yeah, go, Dwayne.
Who's your favorite actor / actress?
Oh, of everything.
Dead, alive?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Local, universal?
Whoever.
In the world.
Well, you can always do the caveat. You can go the this for this and the that for that.
Yeah, I guess you can break it into
theater.
Yeah,
don't go local because you'll offend people if you're worried about
I would have no issue with that. I would have no problem telling any actor who my favorite actor is, because that's a very subjective. I mean, like, it doesn't mean you're not good.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we don't hate you guys.
It's just not you, though.
No, especially if she talks about how thin-skinned she is about rejecting people.
All right.
I would say she'd be up all night.
I'd be apoplectic.
It's like picking your favorite child or something.
So, I guess the two that come to mind are Katharine Hepburn and Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I think those are good because...
Interesting.
The capacity of strength, of versatility, of classic just grace, and also the ability to kind of be raw. That I would say that for, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. For the
famous, well-known.
You wouldn't think off the top of your head that Katharine Hepburn would be the
the chameleonic type of actress that Meryl Streep is, mm-hmm. but within her, I mean, she ran the gamut in terms of types of characters that she played within her.
She was definitely
vocal palette and
very
her
vulnerable
her look.
In some of her roles,
and very hard at times.
And very hard.
And that was one of her great strengths. Yeah. Those are good choices. Those are good choices.
I just flashed on it.
You can't go wrong.
When I was in, probably still in grade school, I had torn out of a magazine a picture of Laurence Olivier. And it was on my wall in my bedroom. And I'm thinking back, I'm like, I'm this little black kid with a picture of Laurence Olivier.
I was going to ask you, man.
I know, man. And when I think back, I'm like,
I thought it would be somebody like Sidney Poitier.
No. I love Sidney, and I discovered Sidney. But my early icon was Larry.
Wow.
Why not?
Okay. I know. Isn't that weird?
Well, how about you, Duane? What would you say?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you asked the question, man.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
He's spinning back at you, bro.
Mm. I think we go through phases too.
Absolutely.
Who's like, I definitely appreciated the work of Laurence Olivier when I was a young actor, and I always thought that Robert Duvall was amazing as an actor.
He's one of them. Duvall. Yeah.
Shout out to Duvall.
Yeah. I mean,
Virginia boy.
And, you know, because of my love for crime movies, De Niro has to be in this, you know, and stuff. And some Pacino. And I guess right now, Denzel Washington really can't do no wrong.
No kidding.
Yep.
What did I see? I saw him in this really fairly obscure Deja Vu. Have you ever seen
that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this
interesting
is pretty
movie.
It's pretty entertaining. It kind of came and went. I mean, it's not one of the roles that he is charismatic. You always see him thinking. His characters are always... His choices are always interesting.
Yeah.
His reactive acting is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel's up there too for me.
Daniel Day.
But he's also one of those, he is a personality actor too. He has the gravitas that you know, someone who's had his, you know, career can carry to a role. Kind of almost don't need backstory when he's
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's one of those.
Well, that's definitely true when you mentioned Sidney. Sidney, you know.
Right.
There's a, who's the actress on Orphan Black?
Yes. Yes.
What's her name? She is amazing.
She's no joke.
She does. Well, have you ever
seen it?
She plays like 12 different characters.
Yeah, she is. Talk about versatility. I mean, it's like it's a great opportunity. I mean, like, she rose to
the... She embraces it. Yeah.
Kind of like doing a one-woman show
and playing a bunch of
different roles. You know, that's always so impressive to see somebody...
That's the horror show, right?
It's got horror aspects of it, but it's...
I think you have to look it up because we have to name her now.
She basically plays clones of herself.
Okay. It's shot and set in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was amazed when
she was also in The Woman, Woman in Gold, with that Helen Mirren piece, Tatiana Maslany.
Maslany, thank you.
Like the way that role.
I just saw her on a talk show, and it was like, when she was herself, I almost didn't recognize her because on the show. Even when she's playing a character that's fairly normal, like the main character who discovers.
No, I would say, you know, contemporary speaking, like she is in that.
And you kind of wonder if they keep, because I've only seen the first two seasons, so mm-hmm. I haven't. But it seems like they keep adding more and more personas for her to play. Yeah. You wonder if she's going to run the gamut of her career palette of characters when she finishes the series.
She was, like I said, she was in that Woman in Gold movie with Ryan Reynolds and Helen Mirren, and she played the aunt of Helen Mirren when she, you know, back in the late 30s. And she was exceptional in that, and it was not one of the characters. Like it was not. She was not playing one of the characters
from
The
Orphan Black. There's more in her bag.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that there are a lot of actresses that given the opportunity that she's gotten, could, you know, rise to the occasion.
It's a great showcase.
But not everyone could be as dynamic as she is.
Right.
You know, like that, and that's just like, it's a match made in heaven, you know. And talk about someone who clearly does the work.
Just real quick, have you ever on stage played multiple characters in a show?
Yeah, I did a one-person show where I played 15 different characters.
Wow.
There you go.
That's very impressive.
That was fun. It was called The K of D, written by Laura Shellhart.
Don't know
and
that
it was D. directed by my lovely friend, John Vraiki.
Cool.
What type of characters? What was the range?
It was it ranged from a cauldron of children up to the adults and to
men and women.
And kind of like men and women. And then, of course, like the boogeyman character that kind of terrorized this one child.
Now, were you telling a story?
Yes, okay. It was all from, that was what we decided, you know, it was definitely, there was that one core character, and it wasn't just like, I'm Kimberly.
Right.
Oh, hey, didn't see you. Let me tell you a story. Like, it was definitely the core character was the traumatized person telling the story for cathartic effect with the use of the journeys of all the other characters.
Interesting.
And so it was a very simple set, lots of shadow play, almost like a ghost story.
Yeah.
But that was intense. That was another intense one where it's like I think one of the, they have like a donor opening night. And for that show in particular, I pretty much did the entire show out of my body and kind of hovering above myself, being like, am I saying all those lines? Yeah. What the hell is going on with my life? How is this my life?
Wow.
And then I was able to jump back into my body and continue the show. But like when it first, when like,
so you astrally projected during the process.
I astrally projected because I was like, oh my god, all
like
these
something
people.
You have to clean up afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, I astrally projected on your rug.
Well, luckily, I'm in the union.
Well, there's something going around. So there's that. That's right. Yeah, don't touch that vomit. That's stage head work. Well, the hour has flown by, Kimberly.
It sure has.
This was fun. I'm glad we finally got this together because it took a while. It was a while in the making to actually find a time where we could get you in.
I'm so grateful that you invited me.
Glad we guilted you into
it. It's very weird.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you really did guilt me.
How many times have we asked you to do this?
Okay.
And you keep saying no. I'm too busy.
So thus completes number five in this batch of actor interviews, and finish on a really high note. That's
thanks to everybody who listens.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Keep listening. I hope we make the journeys across country fun.
Please,
and
amen to
that.
Pay my bills.
Yeah, there you go. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Spread the word. Spread the word. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks, Dwayne.
No problem.
Thank you, Ken.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Kimberly.
You're welcome.
And thank all of you. Bye.
All in your mind.